Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everybody, and much, much mahalo and aloha to everyone. And thank you, John Chong, for opening up the show. And as every week, you allow us to come into your home every Tuesday night on March 30th. And we're very excited about being here. But before we go on with our show and introduce our special guest, I'd like to bring on my producer, who for 7 years has put us on the air, and God bless him. Haji Jesse Bowen, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Great. How's North Carolina? How you doing, sir?
Oh, the day was a beautiful day. It was totally a beautiful day. Great day to sit outside and just enjoy, you know, God's nature.
Well, we got a very special show on tonight, and before we introduce my special guest, will you please tell us what's going on with the AMAAA Foundation and our book that we're working on? Some of the things you got going on, Auntie Jesse Bowen, please.
Well, yes, sir. I guess, you know, let's start with the book, and, you know, because that's the sort of kickoff. You know, we are getting great response. It's, you know, we brought Keith Yates on to be the editor of the book. We have a lot of people interacting. We got legends in the real legends in the martial arts that, you know, the people that you have brought into as a history general, and those people are people that have made impacts in the sport karate. And we're going to be able to feature their story in the book. You know, they're going to have a full page to tell their story in the book, and it's that story, that part that we can share with that space. But, you know, really of just, you know, bringing your vision of the sport karate, you know, if you got a museum, then you really need to have the museum book, which is that history book that sort of really puts a perspective on those people that call themselves history generals and, you know, the things that they've done, especially now, you know, then that history is for the people that lived during that period of time. And it's also for the people that are living afterwards, you know, what really happened in the beginning of martial arts. So that's going on really well. We're really excited about it. You know, the AMAA, we are, you know, our membership drives are going on. The part of our publishing company, you know, we're publishing a book for Sifu Allen Goldberg and their event. And we're publishing a book for Bam Johnson that's coming out shortly. We have our book, which features martial artists with over 50 years in the martial arts. And then we have several projects that we're trying to confirm. But, you know, 7 years ago, you know, we were starting off with one book, which was the introductory of the Who's Who in the Martial Arts. And today, you know, we've got, you know, people we're interacting with, you know, worldwide. But we're trying to deliver a message, and that is a positive message of preserving, you know, what's happened in the past and make sure it stays relevant for the future. So a lot going on, sir.
Well, how will people find out more about the book and the ring? You have a website. Is that Let me say it slow. It's www.sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com. Is that correct?
You're getting good at this, sir.
Well, I'm trying to copycat you.
And about the ring, you know, we started with the Who's Who ring, and that ring is a cornerstone to the things that we do in my event. And we really want to make it a cornerstone of, you know, the history generals, because with that customized ring that everyone gets, it becomes a symbol of who they are, if they're history general, you know, or the ambassador. When everybody sees that particular ring, they know that ring. It's not something that only one or two people receive, but everyone that is a history general, you know, we provide a way that they can be a part of that symbol that defines them as a very unique individual. So we're very super proud to be able to share that idea and concept and, you know, really to work with something something that's truly amazing. I was talking with someone today from up north, up in Chicago area, you know, about your event, and I was telling them about, you know, that the Sport Karate Museum, the foundation is deep, and we hope that the book is a strong point of helping to gain the recognition and support the efforts that you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. Again, repeat the website and your phone number for people to contact you personally.
All right. So just like what you just said, it www.sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com. If you need to contact me by text or a call, that telephone number is 919-618-8075, 919-618-8075.
Well, thank you so much for your insight and your vision, and especially your attitude toward the history. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for allowing us to be a part of the network. And I really wish everybody joy and happiness, you know, for what we've gone through in America, Hachi, to be so positive with the book honoring Chuck and Benny and now all the history generals. You know, the AMMA is really stepping up. And so I really want to say thank you, sir. Thank you. I mean that.
Well, yes, sir. We appreciate you too, sir. Thank you.
Well, okay. God bless you. That was Hockey Jesse Bowen, the producer of Parts Unknown, our weekly radio show that we've done now for 7 years. Now, before I introduce my co-host and my great co-host, I might say, I want to just spend 30 seconds of silence, please, for a young lady that we lost 2 days ago. Her name was Jacqueline Anderson. She's the wife of History General Jimmy the Fighting Irishman Anderson, and they're a big part of the Sport Karate Museum. And we lost her to cancer 2 days ago. So please, 30 seconds of silence for Miss Jackie. Thank you so much. I mean, she was a big part of the Sport Karate Museum, and Jimmy still is. And every year we give out a Samaritan Award underneath Jimmy's name. So, but now I'd like to introduce my great co-host, Dean Piles. Quit knocking people out and get on the line. Dean, where you at?
I'm here.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good.
Well, it's good to hear you boys, man. How's things doing in Florida? You guys having a good time? Good weather?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, doing good. Weather's warm. Training's good. So, you know, down here in Florida, we don't participate in everything like the rest of the world. You're talking about how the world is. You know, down here in Florida, we kind of do our own thing and do what we want. And, you know, it's really done good to keep our businesses going and keep everybody going good. You know, like I say, I'm on base every day, thousands of soldiers and in my karate school, and everybody's doing good and doing healthy, and we're just keeping on.
Well, I've got a surprise for you tonight, buddy. I've got one of the roommates used to live with your old instructor, and I'm going to bring him on. But first of all, let's bring our other co-host on, Mr. A.J. Perry. Hey, A.J., where you at?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, buddy. Say hello
to
Dean, man. You guys haven't talked in a while, have you?
Yeah, doing
good,
AJ. Buddy? How you doing, bro?
Good, good. Good to hear your voice.
You too, buddy.
I'm surprised at both of you guys. I got not only a Tank to Do guy, but I've got the roommate with Joe Lewis, who was used to be your instructor. Now, he's a good friend of mine,
AJ,
too.
Hang on. AJ, I thought Professor said that he had us a surprise. I thought I heard the word check. Isn't that what
I
you said?
Surprise, dude.
That's what I thought
check.
He said.
Leonard, tell these guys you're my surprise. Leonard, where you at?
I'm still here in Huntington Beach, California. Aloha to all of you. I just think it's amazing how, with technology, we're all here sharing love.
Isn't it great? I've got Dean Piles, a resident from Joe Lewis, your old roommate, and then A.J. Perry, my animal friend from Ohio, who's a Tang Suzo guy. So you should feel at home right now. Now, let's talk a little bit about your history. Now, it's rich, but let's start about when you made black belt. Who'd you make black belt under, and what style, Leonard?
Well, you know, it's interesting because my career started in 1964. I was almost nine, and it was August, and I remember going with my cousin Howie to Ed Parker's Long Beach Invitationals, and I had no idea who I was witnessing. I mean, not only was Bruce Lee there, Mike Stone, I have to share this. I remember I was just amazed at his ridge hand and his afro had this gyration to it. When, so ironically, I told my cousin, I've got to go meet this guy. He was the real deal. And, you know, I'll tell you something. To this day, we not only maintain a true brotherhood love for each other, but I know when he shared with me, he actually read my book, I believe, three times. And I thought, wow, what an honor. You know, even Bob Wall, when I met Bob in the 60s, and Joe Lewis was selling his interest in the dojo they just opened. It was just amazing. I had no idea who these people were because, let's face it, it wasn't commercialized
now,
like it is today.
When you eventually started
1973, my signature has Bob Wall and Carlos Ray Norris, and that was 1973.
Now, you say Carlos Ray Norris. Better known as.
Yeah, well, they didn't call him Chuck. He was Carlos, and Carlos had quite a following in the parking lot. I don't want to get into a lot of specifics, but it was amazing the things that were going on. And, you know, Joe obviously.
But wait a minute. Leonard, wait a minute. Let me let my listeners understand something. I'm talking to a black belt that made black belt under Bob Wall and Chuck Norris. Is that correct?
Well, if you want, you can go to leonardwayne.com, and there's a fabulous piece that Bob posted, and he does an excellent job describing what it was like to train with them, and I think it's more appropriate. You know, it's funny, Carlos used to say to Bob all the time, because Bob used to love to boast and brag about Bob. And Carlos used to always tell him, you know, Bob, it's so much classier if you let other people tell stories. And if they want to
embellish it. You know, he told me that exact same thing in 1974.
You know, another thing that's important is Joe Lewis hated to be referred to as sensei. He wanted to be called coach. And he was someone that loved sparring. You had to go multiple
rounds. Now, let's talk about that. How did you meet Joe Lewis? How did you meet the great Joe Lewis?
Well, it was funny. Obviously, Joe's beautiful wife, Barbara, was working in the industry, and I met her in the 70s. She was doing some chips. But what was interesting is Joe now was going to pursue his acting, and it was fabulous to have him now. My dojo was on Hollywood Boulevard in Gower, and it was just amazing to have him come and be able to spend time working out. he was so focused on trying to make an impact with his acting, but he had to deal with the politics, the insanity of it, and the lifestyle associated with it. I mean, there's crazy, let's face it, there's a lot of wild things going on in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But now, just like everything in life.
Now you, let's talk about the acting a little bit. Now, you actually did stunt work, and you were with John Wayne and Lee Marvin and a lot of people in the industry. What are some of the movies that you worked on as a stuntman, Leonard?
Well, ironically, the one with Barbara was The Incredible Hulk. But I was blessed because when I met James Garner, Jimmy took me under his wing, and I was doing a lot of Rockford Files. And I don't know if you know this, but one of John Wayne's favorite actors was James Garner. He just loved him. And it's just such an interesting world that we live in. But, you know, Lee Marvin was so funny because he would come over to Dick Bacallion's house. And, of course, I wanted to talk to him about his role in The Dirty Dozen. But it was always getting back.
He was a sweet man, too. You know, because I met him through a man, Mr. Coburn, James Coburn. And
James Coburn.
Yeah, sweet men. But they came across as badasses on the screen. But they were really sweet men. Now, let me ask you another question. Did you knew Hal Needham, correct?
Yeah.
He was the director of the first movie that Jackie Chan starred in called The Cannonball Run. And, you know, I think I told you, I was the guy that got coffee for people like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Dom DeLuise, and Mel Tillis, and Farrah Fawcett. And I was the coffee guy. I mean, what do you call guys who get coffees on movie sets? What's the word for that?
We call
go-getters.
We call them.
Is there a word?
Schmuck. That's a schmuck.
Schmuck. I was a schmuck, man, I guess. AJ, you didn't hear that, did you? I was a schmuck. Now, Leonard, I got AJ on the line here. You both guys are Tang So Do guys. Now, what makes Tang So Do so different? Go ahead, Leonard. You talk first, and I'll let AJ say, because every time I talk about Tang Soo Do, he's got to say something. So what makes it
so
different?
I want to start with the reality of, first of all, if you really get into the art, you have to understand the creeds. I mean, be loyal to our country, be obedient to your parents, be lovable between husband and wife, be cooperative between brothers and sisters, be respectful to your elders, faithful between teacher and student. Be faithful between friends and just in killing. See, these are things that aren't taught in a lot of these McDojos, and this is the founding basic building blocks. I mean, the whole concept back then was not asking how long does it take to become a black belt. It was truly about understanding you're doing something that most people are going to quit. I mean, they just don't understand.
Right.
So you're teaching them.
Like AJ talks about that way, too. AJ, you got anything to say about Tang Soo Do? I mean, the virtues, I mean, he talks like you, man.
It's a lot about etiquette, not just technique. It's about a lifestyle, the way you handle yourself in and out of the dojo. You know, it's Japanese style called dojo.
Well, how
but
far
what
does
you want, what you hang on, hang on.
Does it go back?
Gary, let me finish. Gary, let me finish. Let me finish. A lot of martial artists, they walk out of the martial arts school and they change. They're different people. Tang Soo Do, you're the same person when you're inside that dojo as when you walk out, and you carry your martial art with you. Not in a BS way. But in the way you handle yourself, etiquette, and believe it or not, even the way you eat.
Okay, that's all good and fine, but how far does it go back? Is it before Shotokan, Tang Soo Do? How far does Tang Soo Do go back, Leonard and AJ? Tell me.
Well, you should know your history well enough to know how far back it goes and how it was incorporated.
You to tell my listeners, Leonard, how far does it go back, AJ?
Well, a lot of the etiquette,
Gary,
let me finish. a lot of the etiquette comes from the military, because the consul was on all the military bases in Korea. And because they were all military men, the etiquette blended right into the etiquette of the martial art.
Okay.
If that makes
sense. How far does it go back before Shotokan?
A lot of it, you know, the Kansudo does all the Japanese and Okinawan forms. There's no doubt. You know, and some Chinese. But it all intermixed when you're building the Kwans in Korea after World War II. Leonard, you want to add to that?
Okay. What is the difference between the Hians and the Peons? And is it just difference in technique? I mean, what makes Tengsudo so different?
Well, one thing, you have your Okinawan forms. Okinawan stances are a lot different than, say, Tengsudo, because Tengsudo, they brought their stances a lot deeper. And where Okinawan stances, they don't do an 80-20 back stance where Tengsudo does. So the stances are a little bit different. Okinawan stances are shallower, where Tengsudo stances are deeper.
Now, Leonard, did you train in other styles other than Tengsudo? Were you a
mug? Oh, my gosh. I've had the pleasure of not only working with some of the real masters that are very humble. I mean, that's the key. I mean, nowadays it just seems like it's so easy for people to, I mean, AJ and I were laughing how many international grand champions there are. It's like, what? But the key, again, you have to realize.
Yeah, I've never been out of the state.
Joe and I used to laugh because when we had to use what we know against some poor fool that has no training, it was literally just, it was easy. And the whole system behind Joe again realized the difference between people who fight in tournaments versus street fighting is night and day. I mean, let's really think about that. When you're fighting in a tournament, you know you're protected by the officials. Agreed?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So in the real world, your objective is to finish your opponent as quickly as possible to defend your family or your honor. But it's
well,
an attitude.
Well, frankly, I hated fighting for 2 minutes. I think we should have fought for 3 minutes, but who am I to bitch? You know, I mean, I think 2 minutes is way too short to fight a fight.
Well, let me ask you, Gary, did you ever do 3 rounds of full contact with Joe Louis?
No, but I know.
Well, then
you don't know what you're missing,
do you? I mean,
well,
I did.
The Wolverine can speak. I did many a man at a time.
Okay, so you.
But yeah, what Mr. Wayne is saying is actually true, and I've said it 1,000 times because Joe would, if he was here, Grandmaster would agree with me. A lot of people say, "Oh man, street fighters are the most dangerous." No, they're not. A well-trained fighter that knows how to fight on the street is the most dangerous. And that's what Joe realized. And that's why we trained and practiced so hard, because that contact is what makes it different. And I tell people all the time, because back when I first opened my school, as most people do, you have dummies come in and want to challenge you to fight. Well, you know, I wouldn't just stop after I knocked them down. And the reason I wasn't was because I was teaching them a lesson and tell them, look, just because you come into a dojo or a dojang, you think that we're going to be bound by rules. The difference in us and street fighters is we have a huge toolkit to pull from and can kill you if that's what we need to do. And that's one of the biggest things. And that's what Joe understood. And he loves sparring. That's why it was hard to keep students because he beat them up.
Talk a little bit lower. Talk a little bit lower.
Okay.
You're going in and out.
Sorry, you know how hyper I am. Sorry.
I know you are. Calm down, man.
Mr. Wayne's exactly right.
I know. You get excited when I got Mr. Wayne on the line because, you know, we're talking about Joe. I know you get excited talking about Joe because he was an important part, not only of the Sport Carter Museum, but the history of what America created. And, Linda, don't you agree that Joe and other people, like, you know, the people you were around, were important parts of what made sport karate and you developed into a stunt man. You also became a master instructor. Now, do you teach now, or are you employed by just your pastoral work? Because that's something that's very powerful. I know that God plays a very important part of your life. And are you actually an ordained pastor?
Yes, I'm not only an ordained pastor, but I'm a doctor in psychology, and I have a private practice. And again, if you go to leonardwayne.com, it'll give you a more in-depth description of my expertise, my passion. My whole belief is, as far as helping people with addiction, is you have to have a relationship with Christ. If you don't, you know, Gary, it's important I interject this, so I hope you really hear me. I've done many, many successful drug interventions, and I haven't met one addict that hasn't had intimate conversations with Satan. So it's amazing how everybody can believe in Satan, yet some people have trouble believing that Christ Yeshua is real, that the living word is real, that we have power over all demonic spirits. So again, we're talking about real warfare now. See, it's amazing where you eventually realize when you reach that goal where you think, okay, look at all the money I've got. Look at all the people I think I've impressed. Who do I really want to impress? And that to me is my loving God, who I tell people, if you want to read my book and actually realize what he's done to my life. I mean, one of the things I really want to interject here is in the 70s, when I was breaking legs for Jimmy Hoffa, they used to have me go on the Princess Cruise Line, and
well,
I was smuggling pure cocaine.
My listeners who don't know who Jimmy Hoffa was, explain to who Jimmy was and what he meant to America at the time that he was the highest of his height. Who was Jimmy Hoffa?
Well, Jimmy Hoffa ran the Teamsters, and they had a location here in Long Beach. And he saw me fighting at the Olympic Auditorium. I was sparring with Ken Norton, and they asked if I wanted to work for the Teamsters as a sergeant of arms. And I didn't know what that meant. And they said, well, you remove people that are disturbing what we want to happen. And one thing led to another. I now found myself doing diamond heists, doing arson, doing international cocaine smuggling. But the point being is I was able to provide James Colburn, Jimmy Garner, all of these people, pure cocaine. And in Hollywood in the 70s, you were the man. Everybody wanted to know where you were at because, as I told them, I don't cut my product, okay? So you just need a little bit. Well, in Hollywood in the 70s, there was no such thing as a little bit. Everybody was over the top. Everybody was freely not only experimenting with drugs, promiscuous sex, but it was wild. I mean, when I was bodyguarding for Donna Summers, some of the people I met. But the key, again, this is what AJ was alluding to. The brotherhood was very real. It wasn't like today. See, today, I think so many people are more concerned about making money. And again, how fast can they achieve their black belt status? Where that's never been what the real art is about. It's living it. And people should know that you not only have the ability to do great damage to somebody who wants to mess with your family, but it's about understanding you're respecting the people that have shared their techniques. Everybody wanted to share in the 60s with a young guy that was very receptive and appreciative. So everyone would share their techniques. And you eventually realized
you take
what works.
You know, that's so interesting that you're talking about the things that were going on in the 70s. And I find it really, really interesting that the intersects with everything that we've talked about. And we're going to talk about even more when we come back, sir. So please stay on the line. I've got a few minutes I got to deal with Dr. Lee, and I think you'll find it interesting. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game. And that's where I hit you with the name. In 2 minutes, you can talk about them, whether you know them, like them, love them, whatever. And it's going to be a fun segment. It's called Living Legends. you basically answer a question about a man's name. I'll throw at you a woman's name, and you can talk about them for 2 minutes. Okay, the legend's name game. So stay on, Leonard. We'll be back in a few minutes. Okay, sir?
Roger that, Gary.
Okay, thank you, Leonard. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Mr. Leonard Wayne, a man from Hollywood, and he worked out with some incredible people, particularly with Joe Louis and a lot of the cool people back in the 70s and the 60s, and we're just having a good time. So stay tuned. We'll
and, Professor, what people don't realize about Mr. Wayne is he looked like a pro wrestler.
Okay.
he's a big guy. Yes, he looks like a – he looks like –
Okay, Wolverine, don't go nowhere. I'm going to bring you on in just a few minutes. But before we bring you on, I got to bring on Dr. Reginald Lee. Reginald, where you at?
How you doing, sir? How you doing today?
Hey, buddy, how's the things in the front line? By the way, my listeners, this is a real doctor, not just someone that puts DR in front of his name. This gentleman is on the front lines dealing with the pandemic and COVID, and so when I talk to him, I'm talking to someone that's been out there and deals everything, but he also is a martial artist. He comes from the great Rick Wigginton, rest in peace, and we'll be talking about the invention that they created, SetVR.app, the virtual reality hologram. But before we do that, Reginald, how are things in the front line, sir?
Yes, sir. The front line is getting pretty interesting. The vaccinations are out there, and we're super excited about that. And hopefully that'll calm things down, and hopefully see the light at the end of the tunnel. That we're all praying for that to happen.
Well, very good. Well, I think about you every day, Reggie. Now, tell me a little bit about your history with the martial arts. You actually trained with Rick Wigginton, the great writer from Blood Bowl magazine from the 60s. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes, sir.
How long were you with Rick Wigginton? How long were you with him?
I started training with him in 1995, and I was introduced to him through some friends and patients of mine who came to my office, because what happened was I had training in the Chinese system, the Kung Fu, Hangar, Wing Chun system for many, many years since I was 8 years old. And my instructor in the Chinese arts had said to me, I was offered to continue with the school and be part of the school as an instructor, but my instructor said to me, it's best for you to finish your schooling, go to medical school, if that was your goal, and then come back later on, and then we'll continue our conversations about the school. So what happened was I went to medical school. I graduated. It took me many years through the program. And when I came back when I graduated, my instructor had passed away. So he had passed away, and he was very, very formidable in regards to Hungar and Wing Chun. So I was looking for an instructor, and one day I met some people that I knew who were friends and also patients of mine who told me about a instructor. His name was Professor Richard Wigginton, and that he knew the art of ninjutsu and the Japanese art, and he trained in many, many fashions. And he had also trained in also the Chinese arts as well. So I was brought into his dojo and in 1995, and I was introduced to him, and he was fascinating. He was, you know him, you met him, and he was an interesting person. He's a historian. He knew everything about history, and he's a history buff. But he was very, very knowledgeable, and he taught me the art of the Japanese art and also ninjutsu, to engage in an altercation and to neutralize very quickly with stealth.
That led into your adventure with Rick Shanahan and Marie, and you created SetVR.app. Now, that's virtual reality, and I'll let you explain what it is, but this is something that's been around for a while. But now you've created a hologram that that will attack you. But you explain it better than I'll finish it. But go ahead, sir. This is
sure.
Everybody, this is Dr. Reginald Lee, the co-inventor of SetVR.app. Go ahead, Reggie.
Yes, thank you. My partner, marketing director, and my developers are super excited about SetVR. SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality, as a platform whereby you can practice your skills in self-defense whenever, wherever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere you travel, and even during a pandemic like the COVID pandemic that we're experiencing right now, you can continue to practice while practicing social distancing. With the use of an Oculus Rift or an Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements to avoid and to place you in an opportunistic position of an advantage for neutralization as you continue to practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, and to develop muscle memory. And my goal is to develop what I call a reflex response to a threat or a stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. Just like, for an example, if you place your hand on a hot stove, you remove your hand off the hot stove as a reflex. And that's the goal of SetVR, to develop that type of reflex response when you're in a confrontation to neutralize very quickly without hesitation. The platform where you continue to practice what you've been taught in forms and katas in your dojos. So practice the art of application against random attacks anytime, anywhere, when you want. We're planning to have future updates with multiple attackers, home invasion, barroom setting, and also in a war zone for the military people. SetVR will push you maximally to the limits in self-defense. We've recently updated our program with kicking, punching, and kicking combinations, and also knife attacks. As you know, with knife attacks up in close, knife attacks are very, very deadly, especially in close attacks. They can be very sudden and very, very deadly. We have that program implemented in SetVR. We plan to have future updates with random virtual matches. Say Professor Gary Lee can have a match with Hanchi Jesse Bowen, the Wolverine, or AJ in different parts of the country or even different parts of the world. This system is called a multiplayer program whereby we will have individuals train and practice and learn from each other and also apply their skills in neutralization. We've implemented a program of metrics that will record the number of successful punches, the number of blocks, the number of evasions, whether you're right or left side dominant, and endurance recorded as time spent in the experience. You'll be able to learn the importance of creating a diversion when you grasp the attacker's arms or wrists to create a 1 to 3 second pause and natural response, a window of opportunity for neutralization. We've also implemented a program of mindfulness, stretching, meditation, and we'll also introduce you to your own personal yoga instructor. Our website is setvr.app. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense whenever and when you want. Our team has been quite busy in making SetVR application more exciting and engaging. We're excited about our recent release of the Ancient Japanese Village, which will be the backdrop to Professor Gary Lee's history portal. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be a future platform for his vision of the history portal. But with that being said, Professor Gary Lee, some words about the history portal.
So you guys go into the village, and the village is going to be storefronts and various things. But mainly you're going there, and you're going to be educated. Like, you'll find out who is Leonard Wayne, who is Jean LaBelle. What is the difference between Tang Soo Do and Taekwondo? What is the difference between Gung Fu and Kung Fu? You're going to be educated. You're going to get smart. Eventually, you're working your way out into the forest. And there'll be the tigers and the lions and the waterfalls and the cranes and the snakes and all that good stuff. But the hologram will appear, and it will attack you, and you have to defend yourself. and you will. And then I will appear and I'll say, look, are you educated? And you'll look at me, and Leonard will go, Gary, of course I am. I'll look in his backpack and I'll say, Mr. Wayne, I'm sorry, you'll have to go back. And he'll get back. And
on the show.
Smarter. He'll learn more and more and more and more and more. He'll learn more and more. We'll start with 50 questions, and we'll work up to 500. And eventually he'll work his way back out to the bars. And then the hologram will appear again. This time it will be a samurai with a katana, with a wakizashi, with a tanto. And you have to defeat it with Okinawa weapons, Kabuto weapons, nunchuck, Joe, Sai, Tampa. You have to defeat. You'll learn more and more and more that the difference between Okinawa karate and Kabuto weapons and Japanese weapons. And then I'll appear again. I'll say, okay, Leonard, are you educated this time? You are. You've answered all the questions. You're smart. You're educated. I'll take you to a gate. The gate will open up, and the gate will be the portals, the History Journal portals. You'll be able to walk in to the first ones will be Mr. Alan Steen, Mr. Mike Stone, Mr. Gary Smith, the founder of the BKF, Patrick McCarthy, Gary Eda Herdman, Rick Wigton, rest in peace, and Jim Harrison, rest in peace. And then we'll add History Generals as you go on, and you get smarter and smarter. And this is going to be exciting, Reginald. I'm real excited about the Japanese village and the storefront and to be able to walk into various stores. And they'll be able to purchase swords and clothing and vitamins and different materials in the martial arts. But for more information, please go to setvr.app. And if you want to learn more of the platform of Oscar's Quest, please go to YouTube and just type in Oscar's Quest 2, and you'll see the platform. So, Reginald, God bless you, buddy. You be safe, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on the show.
We'll see you next week, and God bless you, and we'll get updates as we go along. But setvr.app, and now one of my favorite segments of the show. We started this, and it's been really, really, really to talk about of some of the things that we do. And it's called 3 Minutes with the Wolverine. And we talk about topics that sometimes that people don't want to talk about. Sometimes they do want to talk about, but they don't know how to talk about it. But that's no problem with the Wolverine. Wolverine, are you there?
Sir, I'm here.
Okay, tonight's topic is winning too much. Now, my feeling is that, well, I'm not going to tell my feeling. You just say, talk about what the Wolverine feels about winning too much, sir.
Well, I talked to you there last week. I'd said something to you before I got somehow or another. It's come a bit bad storm and kicked me off, but AJ's got my back, so he took care of that. But I had told you, before when I training with Grandmaster Lewis my whole life, and then once I started competing and winning all the time, he said, hey, you ain't making no friends doing that. But he was joking. He was laughing. He said, hey, you ain't making no friends doing that. And I said, well, what do I do about that? He said, you keep winning. So I've made it a part of my life that when I train and I compete, I take my training and the stuff that my teachers have taught me, I take it very serious. And anyone that knows me knows, how I represent Grandmaster Lewis. And, I have people all the time when I give seminars or doing stuff, my greatest honor is them coming up going, man, when you moving there for a minute, I thought it was you. I even had some of my students go online one time. We were looking at some videos of Grandmaster Lewis fighting, and they thought it was me. And I said, no, that's my teacher. And they was like, well, you did a good job of, working. But he would always tell us, not to imitate, but to innovate. And that's kind of where I'm at. So I kept going and going. And there's a lot of martial artists today because today's times there's more competition. There's more sponsors, so people get to go to more competitions. I mean, you know, especially before COVID, NASA has like, well, it's like 15 competitions or something like that on their world tour. Not to mention just their national tour, but on the world tour. Well, if you go to 15 competitions and you enter four or five divisions, now the difference is, you know, these are not full contact matches, but at stuff like Orlando, when you can do the ISK kickboxing, and, you know, I got on the U.S. team for the ISK under Ray Bryant Jr.
Okay,
you know,
Wolverine,
just,
wait a minute.
I'm laying the
Wolverine, can you win too much?
Yes.
Well, you're going off on winning. Can you win too much? Get to the point.
That's what I'm getting ready to say.
Much?
So hang on. I got to lay my groundwork. People don't know what I'm talking about. You're messing up my
three minutes.
Okay,
so you go to
all these competitions, you start winning. Well, I had talked to Professor before, and I had talked to some other guys that have won a lot of stuff that are you know, been in kickboxing for a long time and stuff. But it's like some people get agitated if you actually say how much you won. Now, in some certain areas, I've said, well, hey, I've had them come to me and say, hey, don't list all these competitions that you won because it makes other people feel bad. So my question is, why do we train so hard to be the best if only when we become at the level we want to get to and we're winning everything like we want to, people try to hide it? That's my question.
Here's my answer. That will let AJ answer. Okay? Here's my answer.
What? Your answer is give it, let AJ
answer? Okay, here's my
answer.
Let me finish.
When is winning too much?
Here's my answer. Okay? Here's my answer. I believe that you should let other people talk about your answers and what you do. Now, AJ just recently won his place in a kata competition. He's been doing it for 60 years. AJ, how do you feel about what Wolverine was talking about?
You go out there to win. You can make friends after the competition.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. My point. And the reason that this comes up, hang on just a second, but the reason this comes up, and I wanted to say this while Mr. Wayne was on here, because it's so great that he's on here tonight, because training with Grandmaster Lewis, he always talked about Mr. Wayne, and, you know, I got to see him when I was younger, and he looked like a mountain to me when I was younger. The thing of it is it's just like AJ said, you keep on winning, but just recently a guy said that, you know, the Marines is a bunch of weak people. I won't get into specifics, but then he started saying that Joe Lewis wasn't that good, and his students definitely couldn't be that good. And what really aggravated me about that is, you know, I don't go around, I just say I'm a world champion.
Well, now that you brought it up, Wolverine, have you called him yet?
Yes,
have you called him yet?
Dutch McCall. I tell you what,
No. If you haven't called him yet, I don't want you fussing about it. Okay, well, you call
him. I've been calling him like 52 times. He even called you and said, what'd you tell me?
Hey, Jim, you got the name, Jim.
You call him. Come on,
it's a history museum. I'm going to set the record straight in front of everybody, but let me finish. You know, this
Gary,
is where I'm going. Well, I want some gold medal. You know, I'm like,
Wolverine, AJ's got something to say. Wolverine.
Okay, go ahead, AJ.
Well, you've got the name game for Mr. Wayne.
Do what?
Sir?
He's got the Legends name game for Mr. Wayne.
You know, AJ, what's interesting is Joe not only got so fed up with not only Ishan Roo fighting, but I think it was 1967. He said, this whole thing is just politics and ass kissing. So it's amazing when you really have the blessing of having your brother teach you things and show you. I mean, Joe used headbutts more than anyone I know. He would end the situation when somebody was challenging him. He'd get in people's face. I know he got in Gary's face. He wanted to see if you had balls or not.
Well, yeah, he did. But
thank
that,
you, Mr. Wayne. You're going to love it come May 7th because I'm getting ready to do the same thing. Because somebody threw that smart crap out there, running their suck, and I'm going to put them in the place.
Calm down. Listen. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been 3 minutes with the Wolverine, and even though we scream at each other, I'm respecting, and he's a legitimate world champion underneath the NASCAR love and the NBL love, and God bless him. You know, we holler at each other, but I do love him, and that was Dean Piles, better known as Wolverine. We'll be next week. We'll be back next week with another topic that we can talk about. But now we're coming back with our special guest, okay? The one and only Leonard Wayne. Leonard, are you there?
I'm not only here, but I've had some of my students that have trained with me over 40 years send me texts, and they want to know if you're intoxicated right now because the way you
keep
interrupting people.
No, we're not intoxicated, but we have a good time. But you can tell them that I'm an old school guy, and I got a Southern redneck, you know, master martial arts, Dean Piles, and a Yankee cracker up in Ohio, which is one of your best friends, AJ Perry. And together, we run this show, and it's really a lot of fun. It's called Parts Unknown. So now we're going to play the Legends Name Game. And this is where I'll say a name, and you got 2 minutes. That's it, like a fight. 2 minutes to talk about them, whether you like them, love them, don't know them, or heard of them, or whatever. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Gene LaBelle.
Gene LaBelle is not only... Are you asking me?
Yes. You got two minutes, Leonard.
All right. Not only is he the real deal, and not only does he enjoy messing with people, I know not only did Joe and spend many, many hours with him, but the key is, a lot of people don't know this, his mom used to own the Olympic Auditorium. Did you know that, Gary?
Yes, I did. I knew that.
And it's funny because he does a lot of loving things for people and tries not to get caught doing it. Very unique style in judo, very accomplished. I think it was funny the way he took Steven Seagal and put him in his place. But a very loyal person.
I saw him choke out a guy in front of George Dillman when George Dillman was saying he's doing all this T-ball crap. And Gene LaBelle choked him up at the 1993 Bravo Festival. That's a true story. I saw him choke the guy out. And it was like it was less than 30 seconds later. It was really incredible. So did you get to ever train with Gene LaBelle, or you just know him as a personal friend?
We ran into each other many times. He did stunt work, still does. So we ran in and always respected and enjoyed smiling. You know, it's just amazing to me when you understand what it is to be in the brotherhood. Most of the time, we enjoy each other's real company.
Well, speaking of brotherhood, I'm gonna throw a Hollywood name at you, John Wayne. 2 minutes.
Well,
go ahead, John Wayne.
You know, a lot of people don't know, you know, his demise, the alcohol abuse. Obviously, he was a womanizer and had many issues there. A lot of people don't know that 2 weeks prior to his death, he was begging for a .38 to take his own life. He didn't believe life was worth living if he couldn't smoke and drink and womanize. A good man, though, as far as if you were in his crew, like Lee Marvin, I mean, he did 3 different movies with Lee. A lot of people don't know the real man is a man that cared and did things and didn't want people to know about it. When they were doing Donovan's Reef, I'm sure some of you are familiar with that, one of the stunts, because Lee Marvin was doing his own stunts, well, Duke underestimated his uppercut, actually hit him. They went to the table, and John Ford just said, let's go with it. Marvin was so drunk. When John Ford offered him the gig, he literally said, you don't need to read the script. I'm just taking my good friends for the next 8 weeks to Kauai for a free holiday.
John Ford was one of the great directors of our time, correct?
Absolutely. He probably did more for John Wayne's career John respected him, would take his direction. I mean, you think of the role of the man who shot Liberty Valance. I mean, look at that incredible black and white.
Yo, Jimmy Stewart.
That was cinematography.
Yeah.
Do you know
that was
the
Lee
other movie
Marvin,
he was
Jimmy
in?
Stewart. Yeah. That was a good movie. I remember that.
And
okay,
you remember Common Chairs.
Let me hit you with another name. Okay, our friend
witness.
Carlos Norris, or better known as Chuck Norris.
A very real man, very loving to this day, does all kinds of things for people, try not to get caught, very humble. I think Gina was an angel sent from heaven. I know he, like myself, had issues with our alcohol consumption. He's always been very real, very humble. I thought it was interesting how to align with Bob Wall.
How good was he, Leonard? Did you ever watch him fight?
I think Chuck had more discipline as far as training habits than anyone really knows. I mean, Joe Louis used to
laugh. Was he as good as they say he was before he became a movie star?
I think he still is, Gary. If you really knew him, you'd know how humble he is. It's, to me, amazing.
Well, I know the answer. Leonard, I've known him since 1974. I know the answer. I'm just asking you because you were around him in the old days, okay? And AJ,
well,
where you at? AJ, you got a question to answer? Ask your old friend here. AJ, wake up.
Yes.
Everybody thinks we're intoxicated. We're not intoxicated. Ask your old friend a question. You got a question to ask him?
You know, it's funny. You know, Leonard and I spent some time together this past November, and, you know, we had great talk. We talked all night long, and, you know, he's got just such a rich history. Right now, I'm not thinking about asking questions. I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, I'll put you on the spot.
Dean,
are you there?
Yes, sir,
Dean,
I'm here.
Knocking people out. You got a question to ask Mr. Wayne?
I mean, no, not right now. I'm like AJ.
I'm excited to be on here to
get to hear all the stuff he's done and get to hear his history because that's what the show's about.
Okay.
You've covered everything pretty good, Professor.
You're going to make me do all the work. Okay, Leonard, I got one more question.
I got a question. Gary.
Okay. Well, AJ, go ahead, AJ.
What's your most memorable movie or television experience?
Oh, God, I think the pleasure of working with James Garner on the Rockford Files, you never knew who was going to show up at the set. Jimmy was just such a great guy. I mean, I can say this because Jimmy made it known in his Playboy interview. He loved cocaine. It kept him up during the day. He loved his cannabis. It helped him go to sleep at night. He was just the real deal, merchant marine, didn't want to be in Hollywood. I think he was just one of the most unique guys. You know, there's an interesting thing, though, that I want to interject about John Wayne and Lee Marvin. When they were in Kauai filming Donovan's Roof, they would go out and get so drunk they could barely find the hotel. And one night, it was funny, a group of Catholic priests were walking by, and John Wayne into a whole attack on the Catholicism. And immediately he felt so guilty, he gave a very large donation to the church charity on the spot. So, again, it was just fascinating that so many people don't know what it was like. And because of Dick Bacallion, you never knew who was going to show up at Dick's house. I mean, from Sammy Davis Jr., to Marlon Brando, to Steve McQueen. You never knew who was going to show up. And, of course, when Clint Eastwood would show up, I mean, he would be just this guy that you're trying your best not to overwhelm with. Okay, out of all the movies, which one did you?
And you know what?
Just who
you know what's
really,
really
is.
Cool, Leonard? Leonard, you know what's really cool? Back in the 70s, you never realized that Clint would become who he became. How cool is that? You know? That's really cool. Well, listen, Leonard, thank you for being on the show tonight. Thank you for putting up with me and AJ and Dean. And making your people think we're intoxicated. We're not. We're just loud and belligerent. We love what we do. So thank you, Leonard, for being on the show. But I got one more question to ask you. One more, and you got to make it quick, please. Okay? You ready? Are you ready?
I am ready.
Good. Okay. You're a history general for the Sport Karate Museum and part of the history of sport karate. What's it like being part of the museum and realizing that people know that you're part of that history?
Well, for me, I know even with regards to you, I kind of laugh because when you made the comment earlier, believe it or not, I'm really a doctor, and it's not just a letter. I mean, believe it or not, it's the same to become a psychologist, same intern. But I'm very proud of anything I've become.
Well, you know what I meant by that letter, because we talked about it, all these so-called 10th degree black belt putting PhD and doctor.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Well, yeah, you know
what I'm
talking
about.
That's
another topic in itself. You know, I do want to interject this. For people who aren't familiar with one of Lee Marvin's very, very, I think, unique pieces, it was called Emperor of the North. And you have to watch it. He plays a hobo, him and Ernest Borgnine. If you really want to see his incredible acting style, your listeners should check that out. I also want you to know that for me personally, Gary, you've always tried so hard to make people feel welcome. And I think it's a talent. And I love you for what you do. And thank you for allowing me to share some love. For people who want to know more about me or my book, go to leonardwayne.com. You can see the piece that people have done promoting my work. And, again, I just love all of you. And mahalo.
Mahalo. Well, how important is the museum, Leonard? How important is the history?
I believe I answered the question.
Okay,
hey, Gary,
maybe
I got something to say about Leonard's book.
Yeah.
You start reading that book, you can't put it down. It's really interesting, and it's like a magnet. It's almost unbelievable.
Thank you, brother.
And,
thank you, brother.
The check's in the mail, AJ.
You're welcome.
Leonard's in the check in the mail.
So. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, listen, Len, thank you for being on the air tonight. Thank you, AJ. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Dr. Lee. And thank you, Hunter Bowen. And thank you, everybody. And, you know, it really means a lot, Linda, coming to your home every Tuesday night. And for more information, if you missed the show and you want to go to Google, just type in AMAA Radio and the date and my name, and the show will be there. And as we always say every week, much mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
God bless America.
Amen. Amen, brother. Nice meeting you, Dean. God bless you, brother.
You too, sir. And I'm going to defend Joe Louis's honor May 8th. We'll get a video out to you, sir, in case you can't be there. But that guy set me on fire. So I'm going, you know, it's on like Donkey Kong.
God bless you, brother.
I enjoyed hearing you.
Roger.
You want, sir? Thank you, sir.